There's paint everywhere, but I need to do a computer club intro. So I've started recording for the San Carlos Computer Club intro for the last meeting.
Woohoo! Wait for the clock.
The what?
Clock.
I was using it.
Why didn't you jump for clubs?
Well, you didn't ask for it.
I asked for it.
You're asking for it.
Now you leave it spot them down.
Those were already there.
Really?
Yeah, they were.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, what a question.
This is the intro from our computer club meeting on March 30th, 2021. I am your host, Scott Stimson.
And I am his daughter, Fabiana Stimson.
I was really messing with her. And we're in the living room right now painting and celebrating our Easter holiday. Everybody's having a great time, right?
I know I am.
That counts as everybody. I'm standing in front of Emily, but she has no words. She's having such a great time, she doesn't have words for it. See? Speechless. Do you have anything to add?
This part of this experience was waiting for more paint to come, sitting on the couch watching YouTube videos.
There we go. Watching YouTube videos, waiting, eating snacks. That's what Easter vacation should be all about.
I'm not sharing, guys.
Exactly.
But it's also for painting the living room. Thank you guys for participating in the painting experience. We have a blue wall.
We had no choice.
Blue wall. You had no choice?
We had no choice.
Well, okay. So this is Scott, the host of the San Carlos Computer Club. And this is...
the favorite child.
Favorite child.
Yes.
And their name is...
Emily Stimson, the seller of bracelets.
The seller of bracelets. And who's painting?
Mommy!
And Bibi, mouth full of tuna, unable to announce that she is here. She's hungry. Just say hi to everybody out in Computer Club land.
Hi.
And this is the San Carlos Computer Club intro. We're done. Tech on!
I always told my students that I was saving my let my hair grow long in case I needed a comb over.
Yes.
How's that? Hey, you got your sweatpants on this time so that you don't get cut off of YouTube?
Yes.
Who's got the echo happening?
Good morning.
I think echo is Linda.
What?
What is that?
Linda's got a huge echo thing happening.
Oh, we can hear ourselves through Linda's speakers. Is that what you're saying?
I think so.
It might be me too. I'm putting on some headsets here so that
I can't get it turned off. Oh, I got it off now.
Headsets are the catch-all for that kind of stuff.
Well, you still have your microphone on, Linda. So does Chester. So does Paul.
It won't turn off.
Well, we can mute it right here. I want to switch microphone. Testing, 1, 2. How do I sound?
Well,
that's better.
That's better? Good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's crisp.
I have a tech question for when we start. It's kind of a non-tech.
Well, that sounds appropriate.
It's always appropriate for me.
All our questions are appropriate.
I also have a medical story to tell.
Okay. Well, we're still 9 minutes short of an official meeting. I might just hit the... I've been trying to solve internet connection issues over here. Something about my connection with Juan. It works great for going out until all of a sudden it doesn't. I jumped up just a moment ago because I realized I hadn't adjusted the dish because I've never permanently mounted my dish. And we had all those wins, and it was definitely out of alignment, but it hasn't given me any more capacity than I was expecting. I'm still getting an error from YouTube saying that I'm not streaming enough capacity. And I don't understand why. And I got to stop looking at it because it just aggravates me. But other than that, I think everything is working on mine. Last week, we talked about Cody maybe we should start out if anybody's got any questions about last week's presentation of Cody. If anyone had anything they tried or wanted to try that didn't work, go ahead, Judy.
I thought it was very convoluted, so I didn't even try. It's not worth my time to do all to watch a movie.
Okay. As long as you're aware that you only have to do that setup once and then you just search for a movie.
I've heard rumors about computers that like that.
I'm sorry, we'll take turns. Judy, go ahead.
It's the searching for a movie part that was not very straightforward either.
Oh, you didn't find that easy to do?
I didn't even try it. I've got my Roku and I've got my DirecTV and it's fine. I don't need Cody.
Okay. That's
personal opinion.
Well,
and I've heard computer guys tell me you only have to do it once before.
Well, again, I was stressing the single use purpose of Cody. Cody is a robust platform for a variety of different things, and you can build it up to be your media center. But
it seems to me you have to have a patch over one eye.
A patch over one eye?
It sounds hard. It sounds hard. Pirated to me.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't find it that convoluted or difficult to go there to look up something that I haven't been able to find on a service that I'm paying for.
I think those are the key words, though, the services you are paying for.
Right.
So, Paul, I have to kind of agree with you on that, too. Not that I'm a stickler for that, but, you know, it just seemed like the torrents and all that stuff are things that I don't want to get into.
Okay. I mean, that's fair. I mean, just these are websites that are out there that are accessible regardless of whether you use Cody or not.
And they pay license fees to the artists?
I think they exist in areas where the legal responsibility is questionable.
So to what benefit is for somebody to keep their computer on all the time with a library full of videos that other people access?
Well, and actually, that's a whole different topic, Paul, than Cody itself. I mean, there are services that are out there that are websites that are doing advertising against such collections of videos. And so, they've got some monetary means. There's other services. Well, take the one that we're probably most familiar with is that Radiosity that goes around town. And they have a huge collection of on-demand movies that are available. Well, those are stored in a questionable location under some country where the legal liability or responsibility is very questionable. You follow what I mean?
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I think for me what it is it's one more tool if I'm looking for something specific, like my demonstration last week of finding movies from the 1950s. I'm just looking for some old classic movies. Where would I look for such a thing? And even if you were using it just for content discovery, you could go to your paid for service like a Netflix or a Prime and see if it's available there. Well, one of the things that I set up this morning, we still have a few moments, so we're just still doing follow up, but I set up Cody SoundCloud. SoundCloud, if you're not familiar with it, has got it's a web service that lets bands post music for discovery. And it's more encouraged to be open and available so that more people can discover their music. It's gotten fairly popular. And what I found impressive about SoundCloud is that you could use this plugin the same way you use the website to add music to your to add music to your Cody installation without having to sign up for any particular service. This morning I just pulled up Morning Chill Out Music, and there's I don't know if you'll be able to hear it or not. Let me try this. Collection of music available, just a playlist of what they call chill music. I'm going to put on my omnidirectional music. You should be able to hear. It's going to work. with as much internet as I have. It was working awesomely. What impressed me about it was that I didn't have to install an add-on because it was part of the Kodi repository, which is the base unit of base software. Is that me or is that what? Oh, it must be somebody else. Well, maybe I'm overwhelming my system with it because it's not coming up and running beautifully this morning. I was able to just pull up playlists of music.
So
my download speed is really bad.
Yeah. Yeah, and my download is really bad as well. I'm seeing as there's just problems getting out. What was the question? I heard somebody asking a question up there.
Yeah, it was me, Scott.
I'm here.
There you go.
It's moving now. All right.
Anyway, your problems where you have you keep telling us it was working really well until we're still here. Reminds me of our on our one local TV station, we have a traffic watch helicopter. And it's got a relatively new young girl reporting on it. And she's a constant source of amusement to Cheryl and I because she's forever saying she has a really hard time finding traffic problems over the city. And she's always saying, well, just a few minutes ago, there was a real problem here, but everything's moving smoothly now. And that's almost always her response to everything when they go out to the traffic watch. You know? And we watch it just for that, even though we don't drive anywhere.
Well, yeah, that's funny.
But that's you.
Kind of like a Mexican weather girl.
Yeah, same thing.
We know it's going to be sunny. She just looks good in that top.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, anyway.
You're going to get yourself adult content if you're not careful.
Say that again? Oh, yeah, that's right. Oh, and it's 10 o'clock. Let me say welcome to the San Carlos Computer Club. Let me hit the go live button, even though the stream is going out staggeringly. Yes, that is probably the funniest thing about the Kodi demo from last week is that YouTube, thank you, YouTube, for age restricting our club meeting. You must be 18 or older and sign in to YouTube to watch last week's club meeting. And I thought that was pretty silly. I couldn't find anything. I read through their terms of service, couldn't find anything where I was violating it. I think it's because we were talking about Kodi. I think that's the only reason is because we were talking about Kodi. But it doesn't, there's nothing in its terms of service, its community guidelines that specifically says anything about what we were doing that would require an age restriction on it. But I do want to thank YouTube. Because it's the most views our club meeting has ever had. So whatever they were trying to accomplish didn't accomplish it. And I think that from now on, Bill has to take his pants off so that we get an age restriction. And hopefully it'll increase my viewership.
Who says I have pants on?
So yeah, Bill, just stand up and let's watch our rating change.
Okay, so I have a comment on Kodi before you move on to something else.
Okay, and keep talking. I'm just switching a microphone right now.
I installed Kodi on my Linux machine, and after watching your presentation, I installed Oath on there with no problems at all and have yet to succeed in installing anything else, any other add-on since then. I'm not sure what's going wrong. I follow those instructions the same as they have on Oath. I follow down through the instructions. Everything seems to work. Looks like it installs, and nothing appears. I don't know what I'm doing wrong. I've tried it a few times and a few different ones.
That did you work from that list that I posted for the meeting last week? That list of best Kodi icon or Kodi add-ons?
Yeah, because underneath each one, they have a very detailed description of how to do it, and I think I've done three of them now, and they appear to work. all the way down, but they don't show up on my add-ons list.
Hmm. So, and are you using the latest, Cody, the 19 or the 18.9?
I believe I'm using 19.
There is a very specific difference between the two. One runs Python 2 and the other one runs Python 3. And it has affected which add-ons work in the latest version.
Oh, maybe.
And so that's one of the reasons I did the Oath, is because it was compatible with both of them.
Maybe that's my problem. Do I have to uninstall Kodi and then install the lower one, or can I just downgrade it? How do I go about that?
Well, depending on the experience you're having, I would uninstall. If you're going to downgrade, I would uninstall and start fresh. I think the best way to do it.
And now, when I uninstall, I will lose, will Oath disappear, or does it stick around if I uninstall it?
Well, I would intentionally make it disappear because you're downgrading. And there are instructions on how to downgrade. I haven't gone through any of those instructions. So Google instructions on downgrading. But you probably saw, and after you get a rhythm for installing an add-on, it's not hard to put the Oath back in.
No, I'm sure I can. So
yeah, and so my recommendation at this point would be just to wipe the whole thing and start fresh with the older version if that's what you want to do. Or not wipe it at all, Bill, because these add-ons are coming online for 19 every day. And so it's just a matter of looking at the Kodi 19 best add-ons, and they'll be listed as the ones that are working.
I'll search for Kodi 19 add-ons, and I'll try one of them. And I'll report back next week.
Well, and you might try, just like I was doing the SoundCloud. Please take with a grain of salt the weather girl in me that's saying that it should be working, but it's not. I mean, really, I've got a video stream going out to you guys, as well as to YouTube, as well as I'm running web pages on three different monitors while we do this meeting. And so my computer is really at its max. It's peaked out. And then I'm trying to run Kodi on top of it. When I shut all this other stuff off and run Kodi to entertain myself, it's running really fast and not having problems. That's why I tie in my experience with doing these demos.
I think we're going to have just a code word from now on is whenever you start to have trouble, we're just going to say weather girl.
There you go.
Everybody will know.
Everyone will know. Weather girl experience.
Scott's
yes. Weather girl.
Scott, stand up and turn around. We'll see if you're qualified to be a weather girl.
That's right. Do you think I have the right top on?
No. It's the rumpus that qualifies.
Oh, that's okay, Paul. That's, you know what that's called. That's called sharing too much information.
La colita.
La colita.
That is sexist. Because
yes, it is.
Because there's a weather guy up there. Okay.
Yeah, have you seen the weather girls? They are sexist.
Yes.
There's a YouTube about them.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good channel.
Mexican weather girls.
I'm going to have to go look. I'm going to have now. I
know. I'm
going to
start my collection of weather girls so I can protest how sexist it is. Okay.
I have something to say. Remember last week or the week before, I talked about an old movie that changed my life as a child. Because
yes.
Briefly, this lady gets into a bed and she reaches down with her feet and she jumps up screaming, throws back the covers, and there's a shrunken skull. Well, the movie is Under Capricorn, directed by Hitchcock.
Oh, okay.
So if you want to see what scared me for 10 years.
Oh, I'm definitely putting it on my watch list. I've never heard of it.
It must be one of his minor ones, you know.
Under Capricorn. That's great.
So because everybody talks about the birds and vertigo and like that, you know. A Rear Window, that was a great one.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. And so many of those movies are inspirations for scenes and themes in modern movies. Like they've gone back to look at those and take inspiration from it. Yeah.
A couple of weeks ago, I recommended John Wayne's The Searchers, and I was wondering if anybody went back to watch it.
I haven't watched it yet, Chester, but I've got it on my watch list.
Yeah, I did. I went back and started watching it. I know I've watched or tried to watch it before, but I have a real problem with John Ford, John Wayne movies that they look just like John Wayne's swagger when he's walking out the door. You know, it's very cliched. And I just give up. I'm sorry.
I ran across, I thought you guys would find this interesting. I don't actually have a recommendation for I mean, I could probably pull one out because I've definitely watched a bunch of stuff. But what I found interesting, and I'll leave a link in it for today's meeting. In fact, I'll pass it to you guys if you want to take a look at it now, is a Reddit discussion thread asking people what their comfort movie is. The idea being that when you feel like you want to be, you want your emotions lifted, what do you go to? What's your go-to movie? And it's been a lot of fun to read through this thread and where am I? Yeah. Read through this thread, and it's just people submitting the movies that they think make them feel better.
Does Princess Bride make the list?
Ghostbusters, Jurassic Park, Shaun of the Dead.
There's
and I thought you guys might get a kick out of just running through other people's movies that they recommend as comfort movies. So I'll put this link on today's. I'll also send it in our chat right now if you guys are interested in it. It's if you open up the link, in fact, let me refresh.
I like the top one already.
Boy, not safe for work? What is it?
Read the top one on your screen.
I lost it already. Oh. I was in the middle of a refresh. I wanted to say, this is Reddit from a web browser without signing into Reddit. This blue button will allow you to see the whole discussion. What Reddit does is it creates a summary of a discussion post, and then just a few lines down, it has this button, read or view entire discussion. If you click that, it opens up the entire thread. And I'm sorry I missed that, Bill.
You might get knocked off of YouTube again if you leave it up there long. It was something.
Yeah, well, now we're shooting for that.
Yeah,
that's our goal now. Is we're going to be edgy in the computer club.
It was something along the lines of finding comfort while masturbating. Sorry.
There you go.
I'm serious. That's what it was.
I believe you. It's Reddit.
for my movie, I have to open an incognito window first.
Yes. So anyway, I'll put a link to it. I put a link. Did I put it in the chat? I meant to put it in the chat. Yeah, I put it in the chat. It's a good experience. If you don't, I spend too much time on Reddit. Reddit is my Facebook. I go to Reddit all the time. If you guys haven't spent any time on Reddit, their front page is really fun because what they have are thousands of discussion groups going on, and they vote up the topics and the comments, or they vote them down. And so what the idea is that the cream rises to the surface, and on their front page, it's all cream from every one of their discussion groups. It's a huge page of what everybody in those discussion groups thought was the best comment on the best topic.
I went to it, Scott, and I saw what you said about view discussion, and then it says sort by best, and Galaxy Quest comes up, but then there's all these comments about different things. It's not like a list.
Right, it's not like a list. It's comments based on this topic. What is your comfort movie? And so you'll find where people have written a movie, and then there's a half a dozen people that commented on that movie. Or people just making wise-ass jackassery. Because it's Reddit. It's the Reddit culture to be that way. It's actually a good primer into Reddit. Reddit can get really, really nice and fuzzy, and it can also get really dark and dirty. It's all over the board. But it's an interesting – I was just scrolling through it last week, this discussion group. I would have mentioned it last week, but we were doing the Cody. And I was just picking out movies that I hadn't thought of that I thought would make great movies to rewatch or to watch for the first time.
Well, I know what mine was, and I didn't see it on there, and I scrolled down quite a ways. But Bill said Princess Bride, and I say The Sound of Music. So.
Ah, okay. I'm a fan of both for different reasons.
Does Reddit have a search engine?
It does. What's its format look like? I'm usually using Reddit through an app, but right at the top of Reddit is a search right here. Like we've been talking about Cody. I can do a search on the word Cody. There's a Cody group. There's Cody add-on group. There's Cody add-on builds. It's probably people making add-ons. Oh, here comes Sid. Good morning, Sid.
Morning. How are you today?
We're doing good. We were just sharing recommendations and talking about Reddit. And right now we're looking at Reddit. So we did a search on Cody and Reddit, and one of the things that came up was the Cody group. There's 103,000 members. These are the people that, Sid, I'm going to mute you. It didn't work, did it? Who's making that noise? Oh, Jim, I'm sorry, it's you.
What?
I'm muting you.
Okay, yeah, I did.
Go ahead and censor me for other people.
Okay. And so this is just a discussion thread in the Cody group. Each one of these in Reddit is a topic that was started, and it is, this pin means that it's been stuck up there by the person that's in charge of it. This right here has been voted up to the top. Cody is not an interesting group to be in right now. What's an interesting group to be in? What should we search for? News?
I can't see where you find the search.
It's right at the very top of the Reddit page. Here, let me go back to the home page. It's got a magnifying glass. It says search. You see it right here?
Oh, just a minute. Hold on.
Right at the top here.
Well, you must be logged in.
No, I'm not logged in. I don't have a Reddit account. I read Reddit like I read the Wall Street Journal. I don't sign up for anything.
Oh, ask Reddit. Log in, sign up.
Log in, sign up. Right here, right beside those, it's got the Reddit icon, and right beside it has a search field.
Got it.
Oh, here, the Suez. So this is a group called Suez. Oh, I'm sorry, this is a page called Suez. And here are discussions that are related to Suez. You see this right here? Here's a good example of how Reddit works. Is the r/ means it's a discussion group. The discussion group is called iBleach, and it's come up in a Suez search because how they finally got the ship unstuck. iBleach is a group that has visuals that are supposed to make you happy. It's like, take all that garbage out of your eyes, bleach your eyes with some, and it's like kittens purring, it's like fawns having been birthed, it's stuff of that kind of nature. It's supposed to make you feel touchy-feely fun stuff in iBleach. Look at the icons in the background that they have for such a thing. You see that up here, puppy dogs and kittens. Paul, I found one of your friends. This is what the iBleach group looks like.
That was a sea otter.
Yeah. Look, there's rescue dogs outside the Suez.
So, Scott.
Yeah.
I saw something on the internet this morning said, no more Suez Canal jokes, that ship has sailed.
Da, ba-dum-bum.
Ba-da-bum.
I liked the way the national news last night called it the ship storm.
The ship storm. So I ended up in the iBleach group because I did a search on Suez, and this video came to the top. And somebody posted it in the Suez group.
Let's go!
So you're proposing this as an alternative to Facebook.
No, not at all. Not at all. But I use it like my Facebook. As people spend ridiculous amounts of time on Facebook, I keep finding myself spending ridiculous amounts of time on Reddit.
Okay. Well, I do Facebook, but I also do the San Carlos Bulletin Board. And I can spend some time in there because different people put different links to different things, and there's jokes, and there's different things going on in there. But on Reddit, I just typed in book club, and one of the topics that came up was, should I quit my romance book club to save my marriage? So, yeah, it's got some interesting, different things in. When I typed Canadian weather, and we got all kinds of people putting the worst place to live in Canada because of weather. You know, it's Winnipeg, otherwise known as Winnipeg. But, yeah, so there's interesting topics, and it's different people saying different things.
There we go.
After we
so your book club brought up a topic in the Reddit subgroup relationships. You see that r/relationships?
Oh, I see. Okay.
And that's a whole discussion group. They're bringing up topics all around relationships in that group. And Reddit has its own language. If we take your topic here, should I, 30 female, so it's a 30-year-old female, quit my romance book club for the sake of my marriage. 30 male, that's her husband, is the same age, male. And if we followed that through, what we were going to find is a whole bunch of people from the relationships discussion group sharing their opinion for this woman. I feel bad for her because I bet there's horrible, horrible advice going on in that group. Relationship, Outlander, all under book club. Am I the asshole? Here's some Reddit language for you. AITA. This is actually a group in Reddit, but it's also an abbreviation that's used in Reddit, asking the question, am I the asshole for believing my friend is biphobic and uninviting her to our book club? It's somebody that's asking for them to judge whether they've made the wrong decision, if they're making the wrong judgments. Am I the one that's wrong? And here I am making references. Am I the one that's wrong for thinking the way I do? And a whole bunch of people post underneath it's their opinions of what you posted. Again, I'm what you call, I'm on Facebook as well, what you call a lurker. I'm somebody that finds it fascinating, and I read through it and find information that's relevant and helpful to whatever it is I'm doing without having an account. Sometimes I feel like I want an account because each one of these topics and comments, you're able to rate. You're able to vote up or down. You can thumb up it or thumb down it, but you can only do that if you're a Reddit member.
So can I ask a question?
It used
to be that when the person that was talking during our meeting would be bigger picture. Now everybody's...
I'm sorry, I've been so busy talking, I haven't been bringing people forward.
Oh, okay.
Is that better?
No, it didn't change.
Oh, it didn't change.
That's when isn't that when you spotlight?
Yeah, Judy, maybe you've changed your layout.
I can't. I'm on an iPad.
Well, is it layout? What is it? Oh, it's over here. It's this thing. No, it's not that thing. What is it? Darn it.
See, I've got the three little dots, but I can't really do anything in there. Yeah, and
so
under settings, it doesn't do anything.
Because you're on an iPad.
Exactly. Maybe if I hold on.
Are you sure you don't have me pinned?
No, I do not. That's why you're not big. If I want you to be big and if I want to see the screen, I have to pin you. You don't just automatically get big when you speak.
Okay. Well, that is called spotlight, like Cheryl was saying. And on the PC, we're finding it under layout, this spotlight.
Yeah, I don't have layout on my iPad. And it didn't change to turn it either, so.
I know in Zoom it's called speaker view.
What?
In Zoom it was called speaker view, so whoever was speaking.
Exactly.
But I think Scott must have it because he's doing it.
Yeah, I just turned on the spotlight view, and so... As soon as somebody talks, they're full screen on me. And I'm broadcasting that back. I'm rebroadcasting what comes to my screen back as my screen to you. That's why Judy's full screen.
I can't see you at all.
I'm off to the side.
Okay. Not on mine. Now you're gone totally.
It must be the iPad view.
It must be.
Ju- since we're talking about your iPad, do you use it in portrait or landscape mode?
Either. Depends on which game I'm playing.
But I mean for these meetings.
Right now it's in landscape.
Oh, yeah? And
right now it's in portrait.
Oh, and that directly affects what you broadcast. Now you're in portrait mode.
Okay, so there I am in landscape.
That's very cool. Very cool.
So can I ask a technical question? Semi-technical?
Sure. That's what we're here for.
If I have used my X-Pro modem all the time, but when X-Pro was off, a friend of mine said, oh, he just switched over to his Telcel modem. How do I set that up?
Well, the way I see people typically do that around here is they literally have a separate Wi-Fi. So if the Telcel modem would have it, would be its own Wi-Fi, and what he would be doing is he would be going into his computer or his Fire Stick or whatever it might be and literally changing Wi-Fi networks.
Okay, so I would just plug in my Telcel modem and I should have that option.
Yeah, because it would broadcast, the Telcel modem broadcasts a Wi-Fi hotspot. And so your device, you would just be choosing to disconnect from the current network and connect to that alternate network.
But if I wanted it to do automatically, I know we talked about that, but I don't remember what I'm supposed to have. I know I need a different kind of a modem or something.
Yeah, what I've talked about many times in the past is where I've bought a router that's called a load balancing router. And it's a TP-Link. It's like the best priced version of that kind of thing that you can get on Amazon in Mexico. And it allows me to put up to four different internet sources. And so it's supposed to be automatically moving our internet traffic across one or the other internet connections we have automatically. Sometimes, though, like this morning, I'm so concerned about being able to go out on YouTube, and right now it's working just fine. I will be disconnecting physically one of the internet connections to see if there's some kind of weird connectivity thing going on that's causing me problems. Whatever it was earlier today, it's completely gone at the moment. I hope it doesn't happen again.
That was my question. Thank you.
You're welcome. Well, we've gone through some recommendations. Would anybody else like to add to our list before we're done with that?
Oh, I thought we were on Reddit. I didn't know we were on recommendations. Okay, I watched...
Oh, unless you want to do more. Reddit was impromptu, like so much of what we do.
I watched Gina and Georgia. It's a teenage girl mini series, I guess, or maybe it's just the first series and about 9 episodes. And it was interesting. I quite enjoyed that one.
Drama,
and then
comedy.
I also watched a movie called The Honest Thief.
Oh, I've seen that. I mean, I haven't seen it, but I've seen the ad for it.
Yeah, it was okay.
That's an action movie, right?
No. Well, I guess maybe. I don't know.
Who's in that? Is it Liam Neeson?
That's the one. I was going to say, I just lost the guy's name, but yeah, Liam Neeson. And the woman that was, I don't know, she played Doctor on one series or something. Shepherd on.
Oh, okay.
Grey's Anatomy. But anyways, it was an okay movie. He had stolen all this money, and now that he was in love, realized that money wasn't what he needed. What he really needed was somebody to love, and he wanted to be honest. So he contacted the FBI and said that's who he was. And at first they didn't believe him, and then got some crooked cops that stole all the money. So anyways, it was a nice little escape movie the other night.
I can't get Yuya to watch Liam Neeson movies with me anymore. It's like he always plays the same character.
I like his character, though. Ever since Schindler's List, I've enjoyed him.
That was an excellent film, and he was very impressive in that. And the funny thing is, even though she feels that way, I like his action. I like the Taken movies. I find them dumb and fun. And you know, my first experience with Liam Neeson is through the superhero world with Darkman. And if you have any appreciation for that genre, you have to appreciate Darkman. It's awesomely done. It's a Sam Raimi movie, and he couldn't get the rights to a superhero movie. This is back when Sam Raimi was really kind of trying to break his way into Hollywood. And so he finally just wrote his own superhero. And so it is so well done as a comic book movie that you don't realize it's not coming from a comic book. Of course, you have to be somebody that appreciates that genre. But you really get out of that movie thinking, you can't believe it didn't start out as a comic book. It all just came out of Sam Raimi's mind.
What's it called?
Darkman. Appreciate it for what it is, because it's not it's pulp fiction. It's popcorn movie, superhero movie, but it's really well done.
We're watching a series that we're enjoying called Succession. I don't know if anyone else has seen it.
I haven't seen it. I think I've seen commercials for it.
It's a little bit rough on the language, certainly adult. But the storyline, I think, is interesting, and the characters are beyond belief.
Succession? You said Succession, right?
Yes.
Yeah, that is fabulous.
Yeah, it is.
That
is the. Go ahead, Jim. What were you going to add?
It is a wonderful insight into the ultra rich. In this case, the Murdoch family and the Sumner Redstone family. They're kind of a play there, and to see how that world might actually be like, and the ruthlessness of it all, I found fascinating.
Plus the script, I'm just amazed at what is sometimes included in the script. Things that most people wouldn't really realize, unless you've been involved in mergers and acquisitions. But there's some very real stuff in it.
Yes.
So you're actually seeing stuff that played out in the past with people of that class, of that level.
Yeah, I can relate. I can, not that I'm in that class, but I can relate to what was going on there.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, that's the premise that I thought that show was based on, was upper class families, and there's some patriarch that needs to hand down his legacy.
Yeah, it's way more than just upper class families.
Yeah.
For example, at one point they're on their yacht, and the yacht is about as long as Beltrona's from one end to the other.
It's
a mega yacht.
The Paul Allen.
Yeah, I was going to say, Chester. It's Paul Allen.
Chester, you were trying to say something. I'm sorry.
No, I'm amazed at the script in it and what's included in some of the discussions, having been involved in that industry. It's quite interesting for me. But I would recommend it if you can tolerate the four-letter language that seems to be universal.
Well, now that we get adult ratings from YouTube, I think we can handle it.
I started The Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
Hey, what did you think, Judy? I'm really curious of somebody else's opinion.
Well, I think I just watched the first episode, so I think I'll watch a couple more.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, I've only watched the first one, so.
What was the series?
I missed it too.
The Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
One more time.
Go ahead,
Judy. Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
Oh, the Falcon.
This is the latest TV show from the Marvel Universe. It includes the Falcon from the Avengers and the Winter Soldier, Bucky, the guy with the arm that was best friends with Captain America as he was growing up. And they have made their own show. And, Judy, I am curious. I found the first episode really kind of lukewarm. And even my whole family just like, wow, that's maybe it's building. Like my youngest daughter, my 13-year-old Bibiana, she's just bored with it. She didn't even want to watch the second episode, which is a complete turnaround from how we were with WandaVision. With WandaVision, we immediately were sucked in. Whether we liked it or not, we had to watch the next episode. I'm sorry, what was that?
I was going to say WandaVision, I got through about 15 minutes of it, and that was it.
Okay. So this is a good contrast in personality types for the Marvel programs. Now, the second episode of Falcon and Winter Soldier, my eldest, Emily, at 15, just loved it because... And she said a number of times, this is what I wanted from this TV show. I wanted this banter between fake friends, all this joking going on and picking on each other. She wanted to see more of that from the Avengers movie. And they definitely delivered as far as she was concerned in the second episode. So now she's a super fan. She can't wait for the next episode.
I think it comes out this weekend. Sometime.
Well, your episode's already come out. The second episode has already come out. The third episode, I think they're coming out on Friday. So we're waiting for this coming Friday for the next episode. Bibiana's not joining us, and you and I keep an open mind. We love superheroes, and we're just a little disappointed.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of fixes that is, this was the first show that was supposed to be released. When WandaVision was supposed to be one of the last, and because of COVID, it got all turned upside down. So if you could imagine this, I'm sorry, Cheryl, go ahead.
I tried WandaVision. I did make it through the first episode, but I haven't bothered to go back. But one of the ones that our grandchildren got us watching was the Guardians of the Galaxy. Oh my goodness, I love those movies. I love the soundtracks. But anyways, those two. Yeah. And if I could find more Guardians, I'd enjoy it.
Guardians of the Galaxy is James Gunn is the director of the Guardians of the Galaxy. And they are a favorite in my house. Everyone in my house loves those movies.
There's an animated series for Guardians of the Galaxy. It's not too bad.
It's not too good either, Sid. I've sat down and watched that series.
I was hoping it was okay.
I couldn't get through very many of those episodes. They were just too awful. Unlike Deadpool, where I am a Deadpool comic book collector because of the movies, I never collected Deadpool before. Guardians of the Galaxy, I haven't found anything outside the movies that I've really appreciated. I wasn't a big fan of the comic books at the time, and I thought they were going to make a bad movie when Marvel suggested they were going to use it. And I loved the movie, so I tried the animated series, but I didn't enjoy it.
Yeah.
But the movies are definitely worth watching. We really enjoy the movies.
The Deadpool comics are bad.
The Deadpool comics, is that what you said? I can't read a Deadpool comic without reading it in Ryan Reynolds' voice.
It happens.
He's done such a great job of embodying that character.
It's his comedy style. It just goes hand in hand with the character.
Doesn't it? And, it sure does.
And I used to read the comic books, so...
What's funny is I wasn't much of a Ryan Reynolds fan in his movies until Deadpool. Deadpool has turned me into a Ryan Reynolds
fan. Well, it's not just the movie. It's what he's done with the character. I mean, stealing the suit after the first movie was brilliant. And then showing up in hospitals and doing charity stuff with the suit, running away when somebody from Marvel shows up to grab the suit.
Yeah. Yeah, well, and Marvel does a good thing there, too. It was kind of what I was hoping would happen with Guardians of the Galaxy with the animated series, is Marvel has looked at how successful these characters play out on the big screen, and they rewrite them in the comic books to take advantage of the things that people, that the general audience really enjoyed on the big screen. So it's not hard to imagine that with the success of Deadpool, they start writing Deadpool with Ryan Reynolds in mind, kind of like what they did with Fury, Nick Fury in the Avenger movies. You know, that's Samuel Jackson. They decided that Samuel Jackson should be Nick Fury. They decided that before they made the Avenger movies. They had actually rewritten their character, Nick Fury, in the comic books to look and behave as Samuel Jackson, almost as an enticement to get him to play the character when they made movies. But I don't think that happened with Guardians of the Galaxy. Scott,
before everyone leaves today, I do have a medical story I want to share.
We'll make sure we get to that.
Thank you.
We have gone through some recommendations. We've gone through, the Reddit. We ended up on a side story of Reddit. And you know what? This might be a great time to hear Chester's medical story. What do you got, Chester?
Oh, well, last Thursday, I had what they call the aorta valve, which is the big valve in the center of your heart, replaced.
Wow.
And here I am with no recovery problems and feeling great. And it was really new technology that's been developed in recent years, which relieved the surgeons of having to open your heart up and to replace that valve. And
wow.
They
didn't have to crack your chest open?
Nope. It's called TAVR, and it's a special technology, requires doctors who are trained in it, and they do all of the replacement of that big valve. It's about an inch in diameter, and they do it through the arteries in your groin.
Wow.
So the only repercussion, if everything works out, is insignificant, little stitches that are in your groin, and they're on the inside of the artery. So it's a non-event.
How long were you in the hospital, Chester?
They kept me overnight just to confirm that there was no bleeding on the incisions into the groin. So they kept me overnight, and I went home the next day, and I'm perfect.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it's just unbelievable. I just wanted to share it in case some of you someday have to have that valve replaced.
Chester, what's the acronym you used?
TAVR, TAVR.
R.
I'll look that
That's
up.
Amazing.
That's a recommendation if I ever heard one.
Yeah, absolutely.
Chester, I have a question. So this is like a transplant, and where did they get the valve? Where's the valve from?
Okay, the valve was made, the replacement valve, Bexley uses some of the tissue from a cow's heart for the flappers, and it has a metal cage around it to keep from creating blood clots. Now, I will have to be on blood thinners for the rest of my life, but that's the only consequence.
But you don't have to be on anti-rejection. Like, there's no possibility of your body rejecting this.
There was no rejection. There was nothing taken out. It's an artificial valve. It's basically a check valve, and it gets corroded over age with calcium, and then they can hear it through a stethoscope, and that's how they found it initially. Of course, I went through a major amount of tests after that. But it stops letting blood flow through, or lets too much blood flow through. So it's a major valve in the center of the heart.
I just think it's amazing that you're able to, I mean, almost an outpatient kind of situation.
It's better than that. I'm not only just an outpatient. I can do anything. I can't lift anything over 10 pounds for a week, but I have absolutely no pain. I have no repercussions whatsoever.
Is this a study or is this a treatment? Like, is it a
experiment?
No, this is actually turns out to be major surgery because there are three teams involved in doing it. The first team is those that are specialized in this particular technique. And then they have a standby team in case they have to install a defibrillator or a heart control unit.
Right. And
then a third team in case there is a problem that they can open your heart up and repair it. So, and it took about, I'd say it took about an hour.
Wow. That's amazing. I think that's the best tech we've heard of this week.
No kidding.
I'm sorry.
Where was it done? Where was it done, Chester?
It was done in Phoenix at Banner Desert Hospital, which is one hospital that has set up to do it. They only do it on Thursdays, and there are only a few doctors that are qualified to do it.
I have two questions, Chester. One is the valve that was replaced, did it have to be made for you special, or is that just something that they have available now?
No, the only thing special is the size. And it may range anywhere from a half inch in diameter to an inch in diameter, the size of the valve. Actually, they're not replacing the valve. They're just putting this in the place of the valve that's there. And they expand the size. It's collapsed, and they take it through your arteries into that valve area, and they insert it in the place of the valve that's there, and then they expand it with a balloon, and it's locked in. Nothing. There's no cutting. There's no stitches. All the stitches are in the groin where they went into the two arteries.
But this part was like they just ordered it by size. It wasn't like we need to build a part for Chester. It's like we need the 1-inch part.
No, that's right. That's right.
That's really impressive. My other question for you, you don't have to answer if you don't want to, but I'm curious what led you to know you needed this surgery?
Well, it was first discovered about 4 or 5 years ago, just a routine, well, let's listen to your chest. And they call that a heart murmur. You've probably heard that, and it's because it's squish squish sound that they get through, and then the situation came up that I need a kidney procedure at Mayo, and my cardiac doctor would not authorize me to have that procedure until I had this valve replaced. So it was over time that it got to the point it had to be replaced before I could undergo significant anesthesiology in a kidney procedure, which is next.
Oh yeah,
that won't be
so. This is
modern.
This is like the first step in preparing for some other treatments that you need. That's what you're saying.
Yeah, you could say that, but these heart valves go bad, and particularly with age, and often they have to just be replaced, period, and nothing else. And up until recent years, that was all done with open heart surgery and the risk and recovery that goes with that.
Yeah, that's. I keep having flashbacks. I think I saw my dad was on our meeting, but I keep having, as you're talking, I'm having flashbacks to when I was 20 and dad was having open heart surgery for a bypass, and just the amount of recovery he had to deal with was crazy. Compared to the idea that you're sitting here in front of us having a computer club meeting the next day. That's just amazing.
Normal.
So Chester, my question is sort of along the lines, but why why did you end up with this as opposed to somebody else that has a problem?
Well, a lot of people have that problem, and it's primarily caused by calcium buildup. I would say it also relates to calcium that builds up in the blood vessel system, calcium that builds up in the various functions of the body, including the lungs and the heart and the head. And some people develop more calcium deposits than others.
So you said that there's only a few doctors that do it. How did you end up with one of the doctors that knew about this and did it?
I had a cardiologist that I was referred to because of the murmur. And after a large variety of tests of the heart, that was concluded that this was the area that needed to be corrected. And a lot of people will have shortness of breath. They will have, you know, they have symptoms that lead to it. And I basically had no symptoms. And I was fortunate in that respect. I hadn't had a heart attack. I didn't have dizziness or, you know, from the lack of blood flowing to the brain, which is usually, it's called a heart murmur, and a lot of people have it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's buildup of calcium in that particular it's a three-flap valve that's right in the center of your heart, and functions as a check valve. Once the heart pumps the blood to the arteries going to the lungs, then it's a check valve to keep that from backflowing into the heart. And if that backflow occurs, then the heart beats more often, and has trouble getting the pressure up.
Scott.
Congratulations. Wow. You know,
Scott, I sent you a link.
Yeah, Chester, that's great. I saw your link.
I sent a link with a really good picture of it. There it is. Just click on that picture.
Click on the picture.
Here we go. Over on the far left shows the calcium buildup.
Okay.
And looking through the top of the head right directly into the valve. And you can see where it's in the balloon in the heart. That they expand it with the balloon. And it's just lodged there, and they don't cut out the old valve or anything. It just goes inside of the flaps of the old valve.
Oh, I got you. Like they mount it using the old valve, and then there's new flaps inside what you mounted.
Yeah, right. And the new one, the new heart valve, has a metal cage around it to keep the valves from sticking or keep them from forming clots.
Is that must be similar to a stent, huh?
It is similar to a stent, and they don't know really how long it'll last because they haven't been around that long. At least that's what I was told.
That's very interesting, because another friend of ours had the same thing done this week and also had very good results.
Well, good.
That's good to hear.
Who was saying that? They had a friend? Oh, hi, Judy.
Judy Bauer.
Yeah.
Hi, Chester.
Hi.
Who was it that, or you don't, I guess you don't have to share if it's inappropriate.
Nobody from here.
So maybe. Judy, was that also done in the Phoenix area?
I couldn't hear that.
I said, Judy, was that also done in the Phoenix area?
No, down in Kansas.
Oh, wow.
Same procedure, though.
Same procedure that he let us know that he was fine, too.
That's just amazing.
They let him out the first day.
Wow. Who would have ever thought that we'd be doing stuff like that? We finally entered the new millennium. We're living in the future.
Same procedure was planned by Mayo concerning my kidney. I have a lesion in one of my kidneys. They're not sure that they will be able to use that procedure because the lesion is too close to a vein. So they're a little undecided what they're going to do, but until they get in there. But a lot of it is going on with the arthroscopic type of technology now. And if you're sitting in an operating room and you see all the equipment that's involved, it is really mind-boggling. I mean, it's a big room full of heavy-duty equipment.
I imagine when they get so much of this dialed in and automated that they're going to be able to do some pretty intense, that's a pretty intense procedure. And you used to crack the rib cage open to get at and do that kind of work. And here, if they can automate and standardize this through the groin, through the arteries in the groin, well, you could see some not specialized people being able to provide a lot of medical care through an automated system. That's really impressive.
A lot of it will turn to robotics in the future as well. But it's, you know, it's a 4-hour lay on your back to be sure that nothing goes wrong, and then you're done, and you can go home.
Yeah, that's amazing. I'll state it again. I think that's the best tech we've heard today.
I wanted to share it because when you get as old as I am, you somebody will tell you one of these days, well, you have a heart murmur, and just be thankful that this stuff is now available.
Yeah, yeah. You think about the amount of trauma that cracking the chest open and all that recovery time for the healing. I mean, I know my dad, I don't know if he wants to comment on it, but I know he went months and months dealing with the scar and pain and tightness.
And the risk.
And just the risk alone, the infection risk.
Yeah, Scott, I will share some thoughts, Scott.
Go ahead.
We were in Australia at the time, so I had my surgery there. I had a heart attack at age 49 and tried the balloon. I was actually traveling back to Alaska from Australia. I was still working up here, and I had my heart attack in Los Angeles, came to Alaska, and then went through a process of making sure I was ready to go back to Australia, and they put a couple of balloons in. They said I had such a long blockage, and the balloons were new at that time, and they didn't hold.
Hey,
at the time I got to Australia, I had to have, that's when I had to have the open heart surgery, double bypass, but they used the mammary arteries. They specialized in mammary arteries. They said they never developed arteriosclerosis. I've got to tell you, at age 49, I wasn't sure how long I was going to live. So I'm pretty amazed every day that I'm still alive. My father had his first heart attack at 51. They did nothing for him. And he died at 58 with atrial fib. I mean, they didn't change a thing. And the doctor told us he was the picture of perfection. He wasn't overweight, didn't drink, didn't do any of the things that might cause the problem. But it didn't help him at all because he died at 58. So I'm absolutely amazed.
This is the sound of Scott knocking on wood.
It's just amazing to think about the change in that's taken place, especially I'm most familiar now with heart. I mean, I've had a couple of stents since, but overall, I'm still just doing fine. And it's amazing to me when I think about how they did nothing for my father. And what a difference these days, especially your story, Chester. I hadn't heard that. I'm particularly pleased because I can walk to the Desert Banner Hospital from our house in Mesa. So that's kind of nice to know. But anyway, thanks for sharing your story. It's really excellent. It makes us really appreciate the level of technology that's taken place, especially with the heart.
Well, and Pop, you didn't mention, how long do you feel like it took for you to recover from having your chest cracked open and getting back to normal? Like, how long do you think it took you to be where Chester is right now the next day?
Probably a year.
That's
I
just
don't care
blows
exactly,
my mind.
I was pretty uncomfortable most of the time. We were still in Australia, and then coming home, I was still having some problems and so forth. Yeah, but you're right. It's pretty traumatic to go through that, cracking the chest open like that, so forth.
Yeah, what a change to think about is just to have you've gone from a traumatic experience, life saving experience that you're lucky to have survived, to a trivial outpatient treatment that just everyone should be able to get a hold of in the future.
Yeah, just amazing, really.
Very cool. Well, thank you both for sharing. That's great info. I think all of us, me included, find that fascinating and useful information. And
Scott,
Bill found that link to the page. I'll put that on today's meeting if you guys are looking for more reading. It's also in the chat right now if you want to bring it up right now.
Scott,
Bill, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off. What
no,
you got
that's
there?
Okay. I was just going to say that my older brother, I believe, had the same problem. He has a pig valve
and they cracked his chest to do it. And that was about half a year ago. Took him maybe a month and a half, 2 months to be up, you know, to where he was getting around pretty good after that. But he had the old system, and I'm pretty sure it was the same problem.
You know, a lot of it depends on where you are.
If I had
stayed in Mexico or stayed in Oregon, this would not have been available there. It's just because I'm here.
Chester, we call that the attitude of gratitude. Scott used the word about trivial. This wasn't trivial. This was amazing technology. You talked about the three different surgical teams that were around. You know, the luck of being in the area to have a doctor that said, I'm not going to operate on your kidney until you get this done. Just the whole sequence, it's we got to be grateful and show our attitude of gratitude.
Yeah, absolutely. Don't misunderstand me. I don't think it's trivial at all, except for the patient. Chester has had a trivial experience compared to what he could have had.
Absolutely. Right.
And how far technology has come. Yeah,
we're really fortunate that such things exist. Me especially, because, you know, you heard my lineage.
But if I'm not here next week, it may be because I'm involved in Mayo's kidney procedure. But if not, I'll be here next week.
Excellent. Well, with all that said, are there any other tech topics that have been brought today? Has anybody got anything they'd like to share with us today?
This is Paul. Yes, I have a parallel in computer technology. And
that is a
commercial I've seen for a thumb drive that you plug into the side of a computer that is no longer working. And it uses a remote system in the thumb drive to make your computer work on a parallel thing. And it's called Extra Comp or Extra Computer or something like that. Have you seen that?
You don't have the specific name of what you're talking about?
No, because it was, I think it was on my cell phone. I saw it, you know, and I didn't have a way to write it down. But Extra is the first part of it anyway.
Its full name is Extra PC. I have one.
Okay. Oh, you have one? Yeah.
Yes, I do.
What do you think of it, Jim?
Well, it worked pretty well. I had a PC that had inadvertently erased the operating system, and it's a very long story, and I won't go into the details
okay.
of how it happened. But suffice it to say, this uses a Linux system, and it gives me another usable computer, but it's only usable from the thumb drive. It does not reinstall the software from the thumb drive on as a new operating system on the computer.
That seems okay as long as you're sticking with USB 3. I mean, if you're buying it as a package, like you've seen advertisements for this stuff, they're sending to you. I'm assuming they're sending you a USB that is 3.0 or newer. And at USB 3, those speeds, you really don't have to install it on your hard drive. You can run it right off of the USB.
Yeah, he says that's what you have to do, he says. But I might look into it because I have a stack of obsolete laptops. But if they don't have USB 3s, they have 2s, do you say it wouldn't work on a USB 2?
Well, you know, Bill and I have been playing with USB with Linux distributions back and forth over the last couple of weeks. And one of the things that I've become very aware of, because you download Linux distributions in a live format if you want to try them out, you can do that on a USB drive. If it's a USB 2 drive, you can get it installed using that drive. But running the operating system off USB 2 is way too slow. You're constantly waiting for data to come off of the flash drive over to your computer because of the constraints of that speed of USB 2. Whereas USB 3 is 10 times faster. It's much closer to the speeds of the hard drive as it's installed in your computer. And so you have that kind of experience running it off of USB 3. So yes, those laptops to run off of a USB would have to support USB 3, and the USB device you have would have to be USB 3.
So, however, I'll have to resort to surgery on my computers, pull the hard drive out, and plug them into a bus that I have. I have the two bus types for laptop hard drives.
Yeah, what you could do is you could use the USB 2 interface to install Linux on a hard drive that exists in one of those laptops.
Oh, I see.
And that would be the way to get the best performance out of it, is to use the hard drive and the hard drive interface that comes with that older computer.
Sounds to me like an opportunity to recover lost data that otherwise you couldn't get to.
It would be just for photos, mostly.
Yeah, photos or emails or whatever that are stored that you lost or didn't back up.
Let's ask Jim real quick. Did you find tools in that extra PC that would allow you to do that? Like you could see your image folders, your documents, and get them off the computer?
You know, I haven't tried to. I wasn't necessarily recreating that as a separate functional laptop, but rather I wanted it primarily for media streaming. One of these days I'll try to download Kodi onto that.
Well, most of these that have been advertised online as well as on cable channels, this extra PC is, that's the first time I've heard that name, but there's been other names that have floated around. And it tends to be the same thing. It's some tailored Linux package with the drivers needed to make like 95% of the computers out there work. And you just boot up your old hard drive off of the USB and you've got your old, did I say hard drive, your old computer off of the USB drive, and you end up with a Linux-based operating system.
Correct.
And they're fairly robust. Somebody want to comment?
This leads to another question I have then. You know, there's those thumb drives that search your computer for photographs and extract them. Now, a couple of these computers that I have won't even boot up. If I used one of those thumb drives, would it pull my photos without even activating the operating system?
I can say a definite maybe.
That sounds like expert advice.
The problem with an old computer that might not boot up may be directly related to a failing storage device like your hard drive. And if that's the case, then you'll run into problems getting data off of the hard drive.
None of them make a hard drive noise.
You just wouldn't know until you were investigating it.
Yeah.
But I mean, if you know the reason, like in Jim's circumstance, somehow inadvertently the operating system got toasted, well, then there's no reason to think that the hard drive is bad. I'm assuming Jim's referring to some story, some comedy of errors that ended up wiping out the operating system.
Yes, it was.
but in the end, there's no reason to think that hard drive has any problems. And so you would think that anything you're trying to get off of it should be working.
Well, that sounds like when I was at work, when we first got our computers, a buddy of mine had his computer there, and he answered yes to the question, do you really want to format C drive?
Yeah, that's not one you want to answer yes to.
Scott?
Yes, Cheryl.
I have an interesting thing that's happened with my email. About 24 hours ago, I started receiving spam messages. And they're coming about every 20, 25 minutes. They're sometimes, they look like they've come from my address, and they've got, the consistent thing is that in the subject line, it'll say surprise, but it'll be S period, U period, or this one I just got, you've been chosen, with periods in between each letter.
Wow.
And they're just coming. They're going to my spam thing, and I'm able to delete them. But I don't know if I've gone somewhere or I've done something. The one place I was yesterday about this same time was looking at making an appointment with our Alberta Health Services.
Did you give them your email address?
I had to, but I didn't finish the process. Do you know what I mean? And
you didn't have any of this kind of behavior before you went and did that?
I might even get something in my spam box, maybe, you know, two or three a week. But this is consistently, like, I deleted them all this morning while we've been talking, and I've got four more in there right now.
Oh, my God. That's a horrible story.
And there isn't such a thing as notifying Google or Gmail or, like, it's...
Well, you could go into Gmail and you could... But they're already marked as spam. I mean, that's literally what it is you're getting hit with a bunch of promotional stuff that you shouldn't be hit with.
Yeah, and I don't open any of them, you know, so...
No, and they're going into your spam folder, right? I mean, that's what we're talking about. And so you're really of the character that's going into the spam folder to see what's going on there. But really, most people aren't even paying attention to what's happening in the spam folder unless they're expecting something and it doesn't show up.
My phone mailbox lists them all on it.
But in your inbox?
Yeah. When I go into my computer, I've got them separated out, like promotions and primary, and they show up in my spam. But on my phone, they just all come in the whole list.
Yeah, that's a really good example of how we use spam filters are sometimes device dependent, like the spam filter in your computer is different from the spam filter that's in your phone.
Yeah, and it's all Google Mail, and it's all my Gmail, but it just... reacts differently.
You might go into your Gmail account, gmail.com, from a web page to see if they're going into the spam folder there or if they're showing up in your inbox. If you go to gmail.com and log into your email there and you're seeing them in the inbox, then from there you may be able to mark them as spam and they will stop showing up in your inbox in your phone.
Yeah, I'm on my gmail.com, and I'm trying to see under settings how it knows what to go into inbox.
Here you go. If you bring it up and click on the three dots to the right in the corner, the ellipses, the sideways ellipses, one of the options is report as spam. Report spam, report phishing.
Yeah.
And so that would mark it as a spam email.
That's when I'm like just over the three dots.
I want to show you, but since I'm broadcasting on YouTube, I'm not going to show you my email because I want to maintain a certain amount of privacy.
I'm on my inbox. I've got
if you're in your inbox, click on the email that makes you think that it's spam. And while you're reading that message, if you go all the way over to the right of the subject address line, there's a curled arrow, there's a star, there's three dots. Three dots is the last one. It's got the date of the email, and then it's got a star, and then it's got a curved arrow, and then it's got three dots. Here, I'll show you on my screen this email. This is from a podcast network that I registered us in. And you can, I'm reading the message. I'm in my inbox. This is the subject up here. Just below it is the address, who it's to. And if you go over to the right of that, it's got the date of the message.
Star.
It's got a reply. And here is the three dots. And down here, it says block. It says report as spam. It says report as phishing.
Oh, those three dots. Okay. I found it in our San Carlos post. Under more, I can block the San Carlos, report spam.
Well, don't do that. You're working on the wrong email. Go find a better email to work on. Block me.
Are these things phishing?
I didn't read the context of it, but spam is good enough. If you're reporting phishing, then you're asking them to take extra action, saying that they're asking you for... Phishing would be, to give you an example of the kind of thing you'd report as phishing, is PayPal says somebody has gotten into your account and they've blocked it, but you need to redo your password. That is an email intended on collecting information from you. That is different from spam.
Okay.
Whereas spam is just sending you promotional, unsolicited promotional.
Okay, so here's an interesting thing. So the one says Kohl, K-O-H-L, customer support. But when I put my mouse over it, it says kevinacrichton@gmail.com. So it looks like it's using somebody's that I might know, a Kevin A. Crichton, but the...
Right, the other- right. They falsified it. It's enough for you to do nothing with it. I mean, like, you don't need to read it. You don't need to take it seriously. It's enough to make you realize how fictitious it is.
Yeah.
If it's from Kohl's, it says it everywhere.
Right.
But hidden under the name is the actual email account that it came from.
Right.
And it's definitely, Kohl's wouldn't be using a Gmail account or a Hotmail account. That's not Kohl's.
And so I could click on more info. I really don't want to open any of these things.
No, but I don't think that you're going to be able to get them out of your inbox. You're on a list now for some reason. Somehow you've ended up on a list, and your own anecdotal accountants of what has happened makes me think that your Alberta Health Service webpage has gotten compromised.
Yeah.
And that they're grabbing emails and creating a list to market to.
Oh, you know, the other one that it could be, that we've been having all kinds of problems in Canada, it's tax season. And our Canada Revenue Association has locked all people's, you know, different things. And my account was locked with them. So, you know, yeah, maybe. But I don't know what to do with them to make them stop.
Well, like I said, I think if you go into your Google account and report them as spam, if you do open it up and you do report it as spam, they will no longer appear in your inbox. They'll go to your spam box. But as far as getting off that list, I don't see that happening. I mean, if I go in, if you want to ferret through a junk mail folder, you'd have a heart attack in mind, because I just have thousands and thousands of junk mails that show up, and I really rely on Google's junk mail filter to keep them away from me.
Yeah. Okay, well, I'll continue to play with it, but it's been quite the 24 hours with spam messages. So.
Yeah, I would do that, get them out of your inbox. And I would be wary of a lot of unsolicited stuff for the next few weeks, because who knows where that list of emails ends up, right? It could end up in the hands of some more nefarious people than just sending you junk mail.
Mm-hmm.
And really, the best thing you can do is just be very conscientious about what's coming into you new. I'll tell you guys, I've said it in when we used to meet in person, but I'll say it again. I'll just reiterate. If you ever get an email that looks questionable to you, feel free to forward it to me. I'll take a look at it and give you my opinion on it. I'm happy to look at it. But I think you've already determined that it's not real. It's trying to take advantage of it.
Yeah.
Have we got any other tech topics that we would like to bring up today? Bill, what's your Linux report for the week?
No, Jim Cunningham has his hand up, but he was muted.
Oh, I'm sorry, Jim. Bill, you got to wait.
Well, I just wanted to describe something that happened to me this morning. It's really odd. I had been listening to music last night to go to sleep, woke up this morning, and my phone was frozen below a couple of superficial screens. It's an iPhone, and I could get the notifications, and I could get the whatever we call that section to the left of the home screen where you have a bunch of widgets. But if I clicked on anything, I couldn't get any further. And furthermore, I could not reboot my phone. I mean, it was just locked up beyond those first two superficial screens. And finally, I don't even know what you call it. It's a dot. I'll show you on the phone. See that dot right there?
Yeah.
I had read in one of the Apple tips that you can create a dot that has a number of items that you might find interesting and useful. And the truth of the matter is, over time, I didn't find anything useful out of this. Just like, look what the first screen is.
I get it. It's like giving you a customized, your own widget. Make your own widget.
Well, that's exactly right. And I could get into that. And finally, I found somewhere, whether it was custom. No, it wasn't custom. But I found a place where I could do a restart from that little button.
Oh,
and I did. But I could not do a restart from the phone itself, you know, by pressing two buttons on each side.
I'm going to put a link in the chat right now that is Apple's official support page for restarting your iPhone.
Okay, that'd be great.
And this gives you the I'm glad you brought this up, because I was going to have to look this up anyway. I'm working on an iPhone right now that's in an infinite loop. It just starts up, has a gray Apple, goes to a black screen, and restarts again. Gray Apple, black screen.
Restart.
So I needed to look up these instructions. I put them in the chat if anybody's interested in them. I'll also stick them on today's meeting. But depending on what model iPhone you have, there's a different series of buttons that you hold down to get it to do a restart.
Cool. I just went to it, and 6S is which I have, and I think it's the same as what Jim has there. But, yeah, press and hold sleep-wake button and the home button at the same time, and when the Apple logo comes up, you can restart. Cool.
Yeah, and as far as the freezing, that's probably related to a specific app or a specific problem. Probably a particular app that's gone funny. And if you can narrow it down to that app, I would just recommend uninstalling it and reinstalling it to see if it goes away. We have so many apps on our phones now that they're getting updated regularly. Almost every 2 weeks, you'll find an update to every app that you have on your phone, you know, in general. Somebody like me that has over 100 apps on their phone, every day there's a half a dozen apps that get updated. And occasionally I have an app that goes nuts on me with no particular explanation, and I just have to uninstall that app because the update didn't take for some reason. Maybe even restart the phone and reinstall the app fresh. And when I do that, the problem has gone away. And it seems like a catch-all. Doesn't matter the platform you're on. It's just something that we deal with. We actually dealt with it on PCs, but it was such a laborious chore. You have problems with Office. You have to go through the process of removing all of Office, cleaning up behind yourself, and then reinstalling Office. It was something you would hire somebody like me to come help you do. But now we're having those kinds of solutions in the mobile platform, and it's much easier. You just say uninstall by tapping on it, and go back to the App Store and reinstall. And whenever you do those kinds of activities, I like to hedge my bets for success. And I do that by doing things like I uninstall it and I shut it down. I give it 10 seconds. I turn it back on. I know it's a fresh on. And then I try installing the new app or the reinstall of the app that was giving me problems. And after I've installed it and proven that everything seems to be working correctly, I'll intentionally do another shutdown and a restart so that I don't have any surprises in the future, that it's going to continue to work without a problem. And I've had apps I've given up on because they never did come back to working. They were supposed to. Something had gone wrong. Maybe I'll come back to it in a month because something about their new update was not working correctly with my phone. Recently, we had a really bizarre problem in the Android side of things. If you have an Android smartphone, Google released a update to their web viewer, which is a component that's used by many apps. It's a widget. It's not a fully enclosed application. It's a widget used to build applications. And they released a version that was error prone, and it caused dozens and dozens of apps to freeze and have problems. People not able to read their emails. People not able to use apps like Reddit. Things of this nature, because they use this web GPU widget to make that app work. And the only solution was to wait and a new version would automatically install, or to have gone out on the internet looking for solutions to these problems that were not, oh, here comes Julia. Hello.
Hi.
I have a visitor.
Hi, Julia.
What's everybody doing?
Hi, Julia. This is Paul.
We're good.
Julia, I have a question for you.
Paul?
Paul, yeah.
Whoa.
My papers are in the office for a year now. Are they any good anymore, or do I have to start from the scratch?
We hold down as much as possible. I was talking to the boss over there, and he said, they're expired. I'm like, oh, my God.
That year should just pass from memory so that it's still good.
Yeah, right?
That's right.
But I try. I did some – I even signed some stuff on, you know, on – but, and you know, now in March, you say, you know, it's been a year.
We were thinking we're going to be there in April. Should we just go for temporary?
Well, if you're going to be here in April, we might be able to do something. Are you sure you're going to be here in April?
Yeah.
April's in 2 days.
But in about 3 weeks, we'll be there.
Be in April.
Let me talk to him because he had it in hole and okay. He would say, no, this is not good anymore. But
okay. When we get there, I'll talk to you.
Yes.
Gracias.
Did you have a question for me? Any other questions for Julia before she leaves?
Does she know about your opinion of Mexican weather girls?
She does. She does. It's hard not to have that opinion. That's the way it works around here. So, let's see. We are starting to run out of time. Bill, what is your Linux update for the week?
Well, I had a Linux update at the beginning of the show, and you forgot about it. And I said I would report back. But while we've been on the computer club, I have successfully installed Saran. Sarin?
Sarin?
Yeah. I went
with a C.
And I searched for Kodi 19 add-ons, and that was the one to come up. And
okay.
It was successful in installing. So I think I haven't tested it, but it says I've got the right menu up here that says it's all ready to go.
So I really think that if you want to do Kodi, the best way is to do it in little bits like this. Just tip your toes into it. I think if you look at last week's presentation, one of the first things I did was take a whole bunch of stuff out of the interface because it just convolutes what you're trying to get done. And the add-ons that you install are ones that you're going after looking for. So you'll find very specific instructions where to find the repository, how to install the repository, how to install the add-on from the repository. That's the sequence of events on all the add-ons when you go to install it. You need to know where to get it. You need to know how to install it how to install the repository. The repository is that collection of tools that an add-on is made out of. A repository can have many more add-ons than the one you're interested in, and you can get lost digging through a repository. I don't recommend it. There's a lot of stuff that doesn't work right because there's a lot of stuff in development. I would only use a repository to go after the add-on that I'm interested in.
Okay.
Bill, I see your hand up.
Yeah. Well, it was a finger, but it works.
Okay.
When I try to go to a movie, it says no DBRID accounts were identified.
So maybe – I'm not familiar with the add-on you just installed. But Debreed is a service out there, a file sharing service that you can have an account on.
Yeah, I set up an account, but how do I activate it on Kodi?
Well, it would actually be that plugin that you'd have to activate it on. So you'd either sign into it with that, or you'd ask to sign in, and it would give you a number. You remember the track when I was talking about getting track authorized
Where do I do that?
Look. look in the settings of the add-on.
Okay. I'll give it a shot. No, I can look it up. There'll be an instruction somewhere, I'm sure.
Yeah. You're just authorizing it to use your real Debreed account.
Yeah, I set up a Debreed account before I put this add-on in, but I just have to tell it where it is.
That's right. You just have to authorize it.
Okay.
The same with, like, subtitle accounts. If you're using Open Subtitle, you may have to give it your Open Subtitle account, which is free. You can pay anything for an Open Subtitle account.
Okay.
Cool. Oh, this is still... And I'll put the link
to Chester's Heart.
Chester's Heart. I'll put a link to Chester's Heart on today's meeting as well. What else do we have as far as topics for today? I got a couple of quick ones. Did you guys see that... that's the topic I was expecting. It's this. Oh, that's... Okay, all right. I'm sorry. I have two COVID topics that I didn't... I thought I only had one. The one I was going to bring up is that maybe you read it. Amazon has gotten FDA approval for a home COVID test, which sounds exciting until you find out, you don't get the results without sending it back to Amazon. I'll put a link to it. There really isn't much to read here. It's a small article basically saying they have been approved for these home COVID tests. You'll be able to purchase them on Amazon with the intention of returning it to Amazon for your results. So I just found it interesting as we go forward. This is what's going on. If you think about living in a place like Phoenix, Arizona, you could literally get a test, take it, and send it back probably in less than 24 hours. So it's virtually an at-home test.
So, Scott?
Yes?
I sent you a link this morning, I believe it was, another one of these NFTs, the non-fungible things.
Only the NFTs.
NFTs. It's about a artificial intelligence robot that's been around for a while, I guess. Anyway, they had an artist do his concept drawing of Sophia and fed it to Sophia, and she did her rendition of it, her interpretation of it, and they put it, it's a digital, little digital movie of the transition from the original to her version. They just sold it for $700,000.
I was going to say, out of everything you just described, the sold it for $700,000 is the part that's the NFT.
Well, now they got the damn robots selling their own stuff.
Sure. But I mean, that's all that's a topic in itself is robot art. But it's been used in this case as an NFT.
Yes.
And so then that's the NFT technology portion of it is selling it as an NFT. This NFT stuff, I don't know if you guys have been paying attention to it, but I find it fascinating in respects to things like artwork and photos. One of the frustrations that creators have is how easy it is for things to be copied.
Okay,
and this NFT, go ahead, Bill.
My question is, who gets the money, the robot or the artist?
The guy that owns the robot.
And by the way, the Sophia robot is, as far as I know, the first robot to be granted citizenship by Saudi Arabia.
I saw that article a couple of weeks ago.
So it's an official citizen, so it could have a bank account, I presume, in Saudi Arabia. And could collect the money.
Does it have a passport?
Well, wait a second. The robot's name's Sophia. Maybe it's got to wear a veil and it can't have a... It's only recently been allowed to drive and it has to ask husband for money.
It still has to have permission from a male relative to go outside.
Or a male robot.
Hey, as long as the programmer's male, right? That'll work in Saudi Arabia.
I wonder, if she could, can she be a Mexican weather girl?
A Mexican robot weather girl.
They do that in Japan. They have AIs that run an anime character and they perform on stage. They do weather, news broadcast, all that kind of stuff over there.
Okay. That just is... as a YouTube censorship model years ago, I ran across a site that was called The Naked News, and it was basically young girls doing the news and weather. They'd start out with their clothes on, and by the time they were done, they were fully unclothed. It was just an amazing. I don't know if it's still around. I should search that.
I was going to say, you're talking like that's not around anymore. Is that true? I haven't looked for that in a long time.
Nope. Still around.
There we go.
Don't
ask any questions.
Absolutely.
It's still around. Yeah, that's RT.
Still exists.
Russian television.
There, it's Russian. Okay.
Yeah. The Russians started that.
I only saw it once, and I inverted my eyes before the end.
Sure you did.
Uh-huh.
And it's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
And you read those magazines for the articles, right?
I got to say, I'm proud of them for inspiring critical-eyed, media-conscious young readers with something to keep them involved. It's
well, I had to go to eye bleach by the time I was done.
Yeah, there you go. We have got forestry. I'm looking at my list here. We got Apple restarts in there. We talked about the COVID test. Oh, in case you're interested in where we're going, this is a half topic. I've written some stuff on it, and now it's missing list. But apparently, Apple has already committed to their developers online, their developers conference, their worldwide developers conference, which you guys probably don't care about. I like watching what's happening. But it's a big deal. These conferences, these tech conferences where thousands of people would buy tickets and show up to, totally shut down over the last year because of COVID. And here we are starting into our second year, and Apple has already committed to doing only an online worldwide developers conference from June 7th to June 11th. To give you an idea of the state of where we are as far as COVID versus normal life, Apple is predicting they will not bring thousands of people together for their developer conference in June. They're still going to consider it not safe enough. I would take it with a grain of salt because, I mean, this should be an indicator of where we are as far as getting closer to real life. And at the same time, I've heard a lot of journalists talk about they don't see these conferences going back into real life again, that they've been so successful, the industry has, of these announcements being online and allowing everyone to attend, that they don't see them going back to in-person conferences, that what will happen is some new arrangement will spin out of it. That will satisfy that small niche that needs to be in person. But these conferences, because of what has happened over the last year and what they've discovered, as you can imagine, all this online stuff, what we're doing now, these Zoom meetings, these ways of interacting and doing work and teaching have accelerated our knowledge on how to do them. And in the last year, they've learned all this data about what is effective, what's cost effective, what people respond to. And they don't see these in-person conferences coming back.
I'm wondering if I'm ever going to be in a doctor's office again. I've had all my specialist appointments and everything, either on the telephone or on a meet. A Zoom is what our Alberta Health is using. But yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of this stuff that, I mean, it's fine. Microsoft is supposed to be reopening their campus, but it's reopening under the circumstances of if there's something you need access to, you're very welcome to work at home. But if there's something that you've been needing to get into the office for, then the campuses will be open and there'll be specific times to work. But all these tech industries have announced allowing their people to stay at home working. So it is what it is. Yep. And probably the last thing that I bring to today's meeting is just an article from, well, talking about Apple security and saying that we've had enough Apple security issues most recently, that you probably want to make sure you're completely up to date. Waiting a couple of weeks, and I'll put a link to this as well, but waiting a couple of weeks is probably good advice, but waiting past a few weeks is probably putting yourself at risk. And I think I tend to agree. I've had you hold off on things like moving to 13 when you're at 12, moving to 14 when you're at 13. We're talking about iOS devices like your phones, your iPads, your iPods. And this is an article from The Verge that is saying there is enough exploits out there that you probably don't want to wait more than a couple of weeks to get into what the latest security update is, because they are quite literally solving security problems that of things that have been found in the wild. So I know we talk about the security issues all the time, and you're probably not somebody that's going through life thinking there isn't a risk because you have an Apple device. However, if you are somebody that is, this is an article to reaffirm, you're out there in the wilderness and there are things in the wild that are security risks, and you probably don't want to wait too long before putting a patch, because the patches are needed. That's what this article is saying. The patches are needed right now, the moment we're talking about them.
Yeah.
Just a PSA from The Verge. And we are running out of time, and I've run out of topics. I am happy to talk about anything, but we do need to get... Has Bill taken his pants off yet? I don't know if we've gotten the age restriction put on this meeting yet or not.
Well, I'm here to make it not the men's club, so there you go.
Well, thank you, Cheryl. Where did all the Judys go?
Everybody's been leaving as we hit the 1 hour and 15 minute mark, and we're almost at two now. So I'm out.
It is time to say goodbye. I do have other work I've got to do today, but I always enjoy talking to you guys each week. We'll say hasta la vista, hasta la próxima vez.
Tech on.
Lynn. Tech on. You guys have a great week. Enjoy your Semana Santa, everybody.
Bye-bye.
You too, Paul.
Adios, adios.
Adios.
Everyone have a great week. I'm hanging up. Jim, everything's working. Sid, I'll talk to you later, buddy.
Later, man.
Well, and that was the San Carlos Computer Club with Scott Stimson as your host to International Computer Solutions. If you're looking for remote help out there on the internet, write us. remote@internationalcs.net. I'm sure we can help you. Until next week, like the guys said, tech on. Talk to you soon.